Ruth chapter number 4, the book of Ruth chapter number 4. Verse 1. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother's Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee. And I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, Buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, You are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of this place. You are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily of Ephrathah, and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, for of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. And that's God's word, and all God's people said, Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to read your word tonight. We thank you even more for the privilege to study it and to look more deeply into it. God, I pray as we look into your word that we would see Christ. We would see him high and lifted up. We would see his glory, his goodness, his kindness. We would see all of that in this text. God, help us not just to see an earthly story about a man and a woman, but God, help us to see what you truly intend for us to see here, which is a fresh and more clear view of who you are. And let us rejoice in that. In Christ's name and for Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. If you will remember, in chapter number 3 of Ruth that we looked at last Wednesday night, Ruth had gone to meet Boaz under the cloak of darkness and secrecy. She had gone to Boaz, who was and is a kinsman, and had proposed marriage to him. She had humbled herself to bow at his feet. She had offered herself to him if he would have her. She desired him, and she hoped that he would be willing to redeem her as her kinsman redeemer. We learned that this recorded event is a reminder to us that God does not propose to us and then wait and hope that we'll be willing to have Him. No, it is we who cast ourselves at His feet and desire that He would, by grace and mercy, be willing to have us. That fact alone, that picture alone, gives conversion an entirely different look than what we see today in modern churches. And so while Ruth goes back to Naomi and she rests from any activity to make this potential relationship with Boaz a more viable reality, chapter 4 describes for us the work that Boaz undertakes to begin and to complete the redemption process. It is not Ruth's work. It is Boaz's work of redemption for Ruth. Amen? So let's look here at three things tonight in these 12 verses. First of all, let's look at the rights of the Redeemer. The rights of the Redeemer. And we see that in verses 1 through 8. The rights of the Redeemer. The Bible says here that Boaz goes to the gate of the city. Now, the gate of the city is a place in a city where people gathered. People would be coming and going and going to work and doing these things and trading and selling, but the gate of the city is where people actually gathered. It would be where legal proceedings took place. And it would be where business transactions would take place. It would be sort of like a public square at the gate of the city. And so it is at the gate of the city that Boaz sits and he waits for the nearer kinsman to Ruth to come by. And as he comes by, Boaz gets his attention. He sort of hollers at him and says, "Ho!" And he doesn't even call him by name. "Oh, such a one." Now, if that's his name, that's the weirdest name I've ever heard in my life. Such a one. He says, "Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here." And he did. He turns aside and he sits down. And then Boaz gets 10 of the elders of the city to sit down as well. And they sat down too. Again, it's interesting to see that this nearer kinsman is never given a name in this account. He is only referred to as such a one. Now, what would happen if a man died and left his wife a widow is that the property would go to her children. The property would never go to the widow. The property would go to the children. If she had no children, and in this case, both children are dead, then the property would be sold in order for her to survive. Now again, the kinsman redeemer, or the law of the kinsman redeemer, was put in place so that land would stay in the hands of the family or in the hands of the Israelite people. So a kinsman would have opportunity to buy the property and keep the property in the name of the family. Does that make sense? So as Boaz talks to this nearer kinsman, he reminds him that Naomi has come back out of the country of Moab and she's selling a parcel of land. And the land was Elimelech's. And Boaz said, I thought I'd tell you that you can buy it because you're the near kinsman before it goes into other hands. And he says, I'll redeem it. But then Boaz says, fantastic. What you need to know is when you buy that land, you get Ruth with it. Ruth is an added throw-in. Get the land, get Ruth. Can't have the land without having Ruth. Say amen. Well, he's interested in the land. He's not so interested in Ruth. Right? He wouldn't mind having a land, but he doesn't want a woman. And Boaz says, well, if you get the land, you're getting a wife with it. And that gives him cause to think. Now, the man here says, I don't want a wife because if I get a wife, it will mar my own inheritance. Again, when a man dies, the property goes to the children. But if you have a wife involved and maybe more children through her, now the inheritance is divided up in more parts. And he didn't want that. So he tells Boaz, why don't you just go and redeem it for yourself? Because I cannot do it. So he declines. He declines to act as the kinsman redeemer. And that opens up the way for Boaz to step up and play the part of Ruth's redeemer. He literally said, well, I don't know if he literally says, I think he's thinking maybe in his mind that he had to be leaving and he didn't need some woman tagging along. That's what I think, but I don't know. So what we have here is a kinsman who has no interest at all in Ruth. No interest at all in Ruth. Interest in the land, but not in Ruth. He's interested in adding property to his portfolio, but he's not interested in Ruth. He's interested in protecting his own inheritance, but he is not interested in Ruth. He's interested in his own welfare, in his own holdings, in his own future, but he doesn't have one inkling of desire for Ruth. But Boaz does. Boaz is committed, and Boaz is willing to sacrifice to have Ruth. Look what Boaz says in the next verse. He says, if you won't do it, I will. And the man here says, well, you need to go ahead and do it. And then he takes off his shoe and gives it to Boaz. Now, what do we learn from this? Well, you can see here from the story that Boaz is maneuvering his way to become the near kinsman. There's a man in front of him. There's a man who has the right to be her kinsman redeemer, and Boaz doesn't have that right. He's won back of being the near kinsman. He has no legal right to redeem Ruth. This other man has the legal right to redeem her because he's nearer of kin. Now, it reminds me of the willingness of Christ to leave the praises of heaven and to come to earth and take on flesh so that He would be our kinsman redeemer. Do you understand Christ could not redeem us unless He become like us? He had to become flesh. He had to become man to go to the cross and be a substitute for us. And so He cannot redeem us unless He becomes like us. And He became flesh so that He might identify with us, so that His death on the cross would be that which purchases our redemption. Christ would redeem us from the curse of the law because He would become the curse for us. And this is what I want to tell you. There are a lot of people like such a one who are all interested in themselves and their own agenda and their own stuff, and they're not very interested in us. But I'm here to tell you something. There will nobody love you like Jesus loves you. No one will be committed to you like Jesus is committed to you. And no one will sacrifice for you like Christ. And I'm here to tell you it's not even close. No matter how much I love, how much I am committed, no matter how much I sacrifice for my wife and for my children, I cannot even come close to the love and the commitment and the sacrifice that Jesus has for them. Not even close. Whatever must be done to redeem Ruth, whatever must be done to have Ruth as his bride, Boaz is willing to do it. And at great cost to himself, he will redeem Ruth. And no one will ever love you like Jesus does, and no one will ever do for you what Jesus has done for you. He has maneuvered himself, left heaven, taken on flesh. Why? To become your kinsman redeemer, so that his death on the cross would be redeeming or have redeeming value for you. Amen? The rights of the redeemer. Boaz maneuvers himself so that he will be the rightful redeemer, and Christ has come and taken on flesh so that he can be our Redeemer and have the rights to that as well. Number two, notice the role of the Redeemer. Now notice here that in the process of redemption, in the process of the work of the kinsman Redeemer, Boaz makes purchase. You see that? Redeem means to purchase, to buy. And notice what he says here. He says, I have bought, you are my witnesses, I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's. And moreover, how much of Ruth do you think you bought? All of her. He's purchased it all. Say amen. Boaz is making sure that everything here is done legally. And there are two things that make this legal or binding. Number one, he has witnesses. And number two, we saw it in the previous verse, he has a shoe. Those two things, the witnesses and the shoe, are what makes this transaction or this purchase legally binding. The sandal from the other man legally expresses his relinquishing of his rights and the transfer of his rights to Boaz. So the rights and the responsibilities of redemption have been legally transferred to Boaz. Why did Christ have to die? Because that was the legal wages of our sins. So Christ comes, identifies with us in the flesh, goes to the cross and dies for us, and it's all done according to the law of God. Boaz has now purchased everything pertaining to Ruth. His intentions are clear. He has purchased all that Elimelech has. He has purchased all that Chilion and Mahlon have. And he's purchased Ruth for what purpose? To be his wife. Say amen. Why did Christ come to die for you? Why did Christ come? Why did he die? For the intended purpose of what? Making us his wife. You with me? So now Ruth, is his possession. Say amen. Just like the land, just like the property, Ruth is now Boaz's possession. He has purchased her, and her future is now in his hands. So legally speaking, all that Elimelech had, all that Chilion and Mahlon have, and Ruth are now legally Boaz's property. Say amen. So Boaz has maneuvered his way into the position of being the kinsman redeemer, and now he has earned the right to do the work of the kinsman redeemer by being the next in line as kin. It's not that he just has the legal right to be the kinsman, but that he actually makes the purchase. Say amen. It's not that he's just willing to be the kinsman. He actually does the work of the kinsman and legally purchases all that is Elimelech's. He has the right and he has the resources to complete the redemptive transaction. Now, if you go to the New Testament, the Bible tells us, specifically tells God's people, that they are not their own. You're not your own. Why? For you've been bought. Ye are bought with a what? With a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We are not our own. We have been bought with the blood of Christ. We are His possession. He has bought everything about us. We are His. How much of us are His? How much did He buy? All of us. He bought all of me. Not part of me. He bought all of me. And He intends for us to be His bride. Listen. All that was lost in Adam has been redeemed in Christ. And God has redeemed us in the person of Jesus Christ. He became flesh to have the right. He became flesh to have the right to redeem us. And then He went to the cross and actually did the work of redeeming us. He purchased us and He intends us to be His bride. And let me just say this. The entire work of redeeming, the entire redemptive work here was Boaz's to do, and he has done it all. He has made himself the right to be redeemer, and he has actually done the purchasing. Say amen. Now, number three. The reason of the redeemer. I don't want you to miss this. I don't know how I've missed it for years. The reason for the Redeemer. The reason. Now, I want you to notice here that Boaz gives a reason why he redeems Ruth. And we automatically say, well, he redeems Ruth because he wants Ruth to be his bride. Part of it. Not the main thing, and it's not what he says here. You know, I was thinking about marriage in our society. Really, you know, why most people get married? It's an attempt to make themselves happy. More happier. And typically in America, when we're no longer happy, what happens? The marriage crumbles, right? And we enter into marriage in America much like we enter into everything else for what we might get out of it. Look at verse 10. Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife. She's my property. She's going to be my wife. And here's the reason why I did it. To raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of this place. He redeems Ruth so that Elimelech's name, not for his own happiness, it's so that Elimelech's name will not be cut off from his brethren and will not be cut off from the gates of the city. Because Elimelech has no children or grandchildren. It's the end of the line for Elimelech's name. You getting this? So Boaz says, the reason I am redeeming Ruth to be my wife, the reason I purchased her is primarily so that Elimelech's name will not be forgotten. Not among his own brethren and not among these people at the gate. Think about that for a minute. It is for the name of another. It is for the glory of another that Boaz makes the sacrifice and gives the reason here that he is willing to redeem and marry Ruth. It's not primarily for himself. It's not primarily for Ruth. It's primarily for the glory of Elimelech. You know, the church today is full of preachers who are trying to make you feel good about yourself. They try to tell you how important you are to God and how valuable you are. And the reason that Christ died on the cross for you is that He saw your value and was willing to pay the high cost of His life for you because you're so wonderful and so great. That's a bunch of baloney. Our becoming the bride of Christ is primarily for the glory of the Father. In other words, we could say it this way. Christ comes, takes on flesh, goes to the cross, dies as a substitute for us, so and for the Father's namesake. So that the Father may be known, that the Father's name, that God would not be forgotten among His own people and from the gate of the city. Say amen. So, you with me? You awake? So, our marriages, the marriages that we have here, are much more significant than just our happiness. We know from Paul in the New Testament that our marriages are pictures of Christ and the church. Our marriages are to be snapshots for the world to see and be reminded of God. And if people see our marriages and they're not confronted with God and their relationship or lack of a relationship with God, then our marriages are not being what they were designed to be. Boaz says, I'm redeeming Ruth so that Elimelech's name will not be forgotten, and Christ redeems us so that God may receive glory from our union with Him. Not only among believers, but among the unsaved as well. So the marriage means much more than Boaz's happiness, much more than Ruth's happiness, much more than Naomi's happiness, much more than Boaz's and Ruth's pleasure. It was for Elimelech's name's sake, for Elimelech's glory. And our marriages aren't simply for our pleasure and our happiness. Our marriages are for what? The glory of God. To show the world what Christ's love for the church looks like. Amen? And all the people at the gate said, we are the witnesses. And you know what they do? They celebrate. They celebrate this glorious truth. And they pray. God would bless these two together. So the Redeemer had to have rights. He had to have the rights of being the next kinsman. And so Boaz manipulates his way to become the next or the nearest kinsman so that he can redeem Ruth. And Christ could not redeem us unless He became like us. And so Christ leaves heaven and comes to earth, takes on flesh, so that he now becomes our kinsman redeemer. He has the rights to redeem us. Say amen. What is his role? What is the role of the redeemer? To buy, to purchase, to sacrifice, to have. And Boaz says, I have purchased all that is Elimelech's, all that is Mahlon, all that is Chilion's, and I have purchased Ruth to be my bride. I've bought it all. Say amen. And what did Christ do as our kinsman redeemer? He went to the cross to do what? To purchase us, to redeem us. Amen? He became that which pays the ransom price to the offended father. And why did he do it? Why did Boaz marry, or why did Boaz redeem Ruth and plan to marry her? Not for himself, not for Ruth, but for Elimelech. Why did Christ come and die for us? For him? No. For us? No. For the glory of his Father. Say amen. And our marriages should glory in